You're living in a very sinful world, a broken world, and it's full of hate and confusion. You choose to be holy. You choose to remain quiet in the middle of all the lies, the media, and all the chaos. And the inside of you starts to burn. Anybody relate to that at all? That is David today in Psalm 39. Maybe he didn't have social media, but we're going to pick it up in verses 1 through 4 that David actually behaves or feels this very way. But the world has a way of dealing with life. Just hang with me for a minute. Here's how the world deals with life. You consider the problem or discomfort. You scan the horizon looking for what seems right in your own eyes or the fix for the problem. Then you think what's best in your own eyes, and then you cope with life. That sound kind of familiar? So you consider the problem or things that are going wrong. You scan the horizon for what the fix would be. You do what you think is best, and you cope with life. And I think it's very sad when those who claim to have a relationship with God through Jesus cope with life the same way the world does. There's something so much better for those who are in Christ. God's way starts with something fundamentally different. God's way is this: you start with the end in mind and let that drive your decisions today. You see, the world's scanning the horizon, trying to figure out how to cope with life. The born-again Christian can look at what are God's promises for the end and let that inform our decisions and how we behave today. So, with that being said, how do we keep the end in mind as we deal with life as we go home? Let's read it, Psalm 39. And I like to ask the Lord just for wisdom as we march down through this chapter. Our Father, thank you so much for the Psalm of David. Help us to realize that there's nothing new under the sun. What David felt here is what, honestly, this journey of trusting you and loving you is what we feel today. I pray that this short little psalm here would help us understand how to keep the end in mind as we walk forward in faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we'll see in verses 1 through 4. David actually felt very much like you, being in a chaotic world, people being foolish, and this having this burning inside. He says this: I said, I will watch my ways and keep my tongue from sin. I will put a muzzle on my mouth while in the presence of the wicked. So I remained utterly silent, not even saying anything good. But my anguish increased. My heart grew hot within me. While I meditated, the fire burned. Then I spoke with my tongue. Show me, Lord, my life's end and the number of my days. Let me know how fleeting my life is. So here you have it. David is seeking to live right before God, and he's trying to live right in the middle of all the garbage of life. And he asked the Lord to actually see the end or the entirety of his life. Lord, help me to understand how short my life really is. So in other words, while all this crud's going on, Lord, help me really understand the spectrum of my life. And I think he comes to this conclusion that remembering how quick your life really is helpful in dealing with God, life God's way. Anybody in the group here that's over 6 foot? Okay, how about 6 foot? I'm trying to find the tallest guy here. 6'3". Anybody over 6'3"? 6'4". Uh-oh. 6'5"? 6'6". All right, so you can stay there, okay? But would you be willing to hold your hand up, spread your thumb and your pinky out? And can everybody see that? Maybe turn it this way. Turn it that way. Okay. We're going to call that your hand breadth, or the thickness of the width of your hand, right? Your fingers, hand span, right? Okay. And it's pretty interesting. We're going to see this. But how does it make you feel if I said that all of your lives are nothing more than the width of, what's your name? Dave's hand. I'm assuming he's got the biggest hands in the house. And all of your lives are nothing more than the tip of his pinky to the tip of his thumb. That is your life. How's that make you feel? Whoa. All right, kids. Somebody under 10 years old, tell me, how old is a really old person? Somebody under 10, back here in the pink. How old is an old person? 88. Would we all agree that's a fairly old person? Would you all agree? Until you're 88, right? Okay. And I asked somebody in our church this question. They were like, 60? I'm like, that must be grandma or grandpa's age. And I thought that was funny. 60 seems very young to me these days. And that amount of time, we're going to look in the text in verse 5. That 88 for, and what is your name? What is it? Oh, Evelyn, you're the picture winner. There you go. To Evelyn, 88 may seem like old, but actually we're going to see in the text that it's not even measurable in God's sight. It doesn't even come up. You can't compute it. And then how about your breath in the winter? Now, I moved out of the Northwoods, and one of the things that I'm only 4 hours south, but your breath in the air because of coldness comes so much faster here than it does downstate. And how long does it, kids in the house, how long does it take for your breath to disappear in the winter? Does it take very long? As a kid, have you ever gone, and it's just gone? Have you noticed that? Well, why don't you guys look with me at verse 5, and we're going to see what God says about these three things, the hand breath, the lifespan, and your breath in the winter. You have made my days a mere hand breath. The span of my years is as nothing before you. Everyone is but a breath, even those who seem secure. So who's exempt from this illustration about the shortness of life? No one. Now, again, we picked possibly the largest hands, but I could ask some of the children to put up their hands, and that could represent some of our lives. None of us have a guarantee, right? And none of us have a guarantee. The Bible says 70 years is a full life. And there's a gal in our church, she's 79, she said every day after that is icing on the cake. That's what she said. But I want you guys to start thinking about it, and David is really writing here. When he asked the Lord to understand life in the middle of chaos, he asked the Lord, help me understand how short this life really is. Now, if you're an adult, I would say close to my age or older, you understand how fast the seasons are coming. It's unbelievable. I remember feeling 8 and 10 years old, feeling like the school year lasted forever. I can't believe how fast the school year goes. It's unbelievable. Anybody feel that way with me? Okay, so I'm not, okay, all adults, all the children feel like life drags on. And there's one more example he gives us in verse 6 for how fast life is. He says, surely everyone goes around like a mere phantom, or some of your translations say shadow. I don't know if you noticed, when Tyson was over here, he was right in the edge of the shade. It's moved. Now my wife is in the sun. You're going, it's moving, guys. And if you all sit here, you're all going to be in some form of sun here shortly. The shadow moves so quickly. And we're aware of that because we sit at different locations. But that is how fast our life really is. So if you think about this, we don't have a whole lot of time in these bodies. And arrogance comes when we forget how short and how temporary we are here on this planet. And I've noticed as a pastor, people make very poor decisions when they fail to realize how short their life is. Just looking at the span of 60, 70, 80 years, looking at that and say, what do I want my kids or my grandkids to say about me? Helps give perspective. It's what causes us to really push into our marriage. It's what causes us to stay faithful to Christ. It's what causes us to actually do the hard things. But now fast forward and say, what do I want God to say about my time here on earth? We'll see in verse 6 that remembering how quick your money goes and it rarely lands in your hand or pocket is God's way of dealing with life. Look at verse 6. He says, in vain they rush around heaping up wealth without knowing whose it will finally be. Did you know, as people move around and work hard and focus on their jobs, have you ever noticed how there's always a need for about $5,000 more? Anybody in the budget? $5,000 would really help us this year. And then somehow you get that raise from work, and then just $5,000 would be nice the next year. It's interesting how much we work, and then somehow the money flies away. I feel that at Costco. When we shop, it's like, how do you spend $300 and you only went in for five things? But I did a little research. Back in 1980, it's the year I was born, what $10,000 bought back then now takes $40,000. Are you aware of that? So if you planned a retirement in 1980 for this time, it takes four times the amount of money to do the same stuff. So just an example of how money develops wings and it flies away. And I believe God made money elusive for most of us. Always just not landing in my hand to help us realize how short life really is. Otherwise, if we all accumulated it, where would we put our trust? In our money. We'll see in verses 7 to 8 to the call to remember where our hope is. But now, Lord, what do I look for? My hope is in you. Save me from all my transgressions or sins, and do not make me the scorn of fools. So we're called to remember who saves us from our sin and fear of death in dealing with life. I want to read you out of 1 Timothy 2. I urge you then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, and intercession and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is 1 Timothy chapter 2. This should be our prayer, friends. This is good, and it pleases God our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all people. So together, let's answer this. Who is our Savior? I'm going to ask it again. Who is our Savior? None of you said President Trump. And none of you said Joe Biden. Interesting. What does the passage I just read tell us to do for them? Pray for them. But put no hope in government leaders. Who's our Savior? Who's our hope? Jesus. And earlier this week, I actually said that the fear of COVID is a fear of dying. Our hope is in Christ, Hebrews 2:14. It's by Jesus' death that he broke the power of him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. The death of Christ and his resurrection is meant to cause us to be free from the fear of death. And let's never settle for a false savior. Let's never put our hope in a political leader. If you all get this, regardless of the outcome after November, you all can know that God is trustworthy and he is your hope. Friends, this is how the world knows who Christ is. By people who claim to love and follow him, not living in fear and not putting their hope in government leaders. Let's continue reading. It says in verse 9, I was silent. I would not open my mouth, for you are the one who has done this. Remove your scourge from me. I am overcome by the blow of your hand. When you rebuke and discipline people for their sins, you consume their wealth like a moth. Surely everyone is but a breath. Hear my prayer, Lord. Listen to my cry for help, and do not be deaf for my weeping. I will dwell with you as a foreigner, a stranger, as all my ancestors were. Look away from me that I may enjoy life again before I depart and am no more. So according to verse 12, you can see it there that remembering that we're not home helps us deal with life God's way. And that while we're on this planet kicking up dirt, right, we will always be travelers and pilgrims and foreigners and strangers in this land. Question I have is, why is that? Because we're headed somewhere. Now, yesterday I read out of John 14, but Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you so. I go prepare a place for you, that where I am, you may be also. So Jesus made it very clear. He's going to prepare a place for us. And in 1 Thessalonians 4, there's a promise that he's going to come back for us. And we're to encourage each other with these words. Now, how many of you guys have heard more and more people talking about the return of Jesus? And sure seems like it. Do you realize that God gave us his return for encouragement during difficult times so that we would place our hope in his return and not circumstances on earth? 1 Peter 2 says, dear friends, I urge you as foreigners and exiles to abstain from sinful desires, which are waging war against your soul. Live such good lives among unbelievers that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits. So as you guys are packing up today, I wanted to remind you that you are not home. You might be saying, no, I understand, Seth. I'm sitting on the beach at Fort Wilderness. And I would say in a few short hours, you're going to be driving and entering your house, and you will not be home. You might get in your house. You may dump all your dirty clothes into the laundry. You might sigh a sigh of relief. You may plop in your bed, but you will not be home. You might say hello to your household pet. You might open the fridge. You might sit in your recliner, and you will not be home. And you ask, how do you know that, Seth? Jesus said in John 17 to his disciples and to the ones he prayed for, which he did pray for you also in John 17, by the way. He said, I am not of this world any more than they are of this world. Friends, if you are a believer in Christ, you're not home. Max Licato, I don't know if you guys have heard of Max Licato, but my wife back about 8 weeks ago found that he's starting to put out these little 5 to 8 minute YouTube video clips. And if you know Max Licato, he's written like You Are Special. He's written a lot of cool books. He's like the most fatherly, grandfatherly voice I've ever heard. He just is so warm and but a real faithful man of God. But he's putting out these video clips. It's like he's hoping that when Jesus comes back for his church and those who are in Christ meet the Lord in the air, he's hoping people in the world will find these videos. And he explains what's going on. But this is what he says. He calls something the gift of unhappiness. He says, are you unhappy? Are you like that child, right? Are you unhappy? He says, if you're a believer in Christ, it's the gift of unhappiness. He says, as a believer in Christ, the greatest tragedy would be for God's kids to find home before they're truly home with the Lord. Maybe our struggle is that we're trying to make this home, and it was never meant to be home for us, friends. It was never meant to be. We're called travelers. From the old to the new, believers in Christ, followers of God are called travelers for a reason. It's because if he gives us a home, that is wonderful, a house. If he gives us cars, that's wonderful. That's a tool. He gives us a church. That's unbelievable. That's his plan. But in all this, guys, we're just traveling through on our way to the Lord. So here's what I want to do. I want to read you three passages, and I just put them on a piece of paper. And I want to get you guys, I want to just see how God's word ministers to you, and then I'll close in prayer here. Ephesians 5, be careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise. Make the most of every opportunity you are given, because the days are evil. This is 1 Peter chapter 1. Therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires that you had when you lived in ignorance, but just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all that you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. Since you call on a Father who judges each person's work impartially, live out your time as foreigners here in reverent fear, for you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in the last days for your sake. Through him you believed in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him, and so your faith and your hope are in God. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for each other, love one another deeply from the heart, for you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but imperishable, through the living, enduring word of God. For all people are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word that was preached to you. And I got one more I want to end with you. And I actually find this passage in particularly not only convicting, but greatly encouraging. 2 Peter chapter 3, dear friends, this is now my second letter to you. I've written both of you, them as reminders to stimulate you to wholesome thinking. I want you to recall the words spoken in the past by the holy prophets and the commands given by the Lord and Savior through your apostles. Above all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, "Where is this coming that he promised? Ever since our ancestors died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation." But they deliberately forget that long ago, by God's word, the heavens came into being. And the earth was formed out of water and by water. And by these waters also the world at the time was deluged and destroyed, the flood. And by the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and the destruction of the ungodly. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years. And 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire. And the earth and everything done in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought we be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with this promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells. So, with that, all physical points in our life, our physical aspects of our life, are pointing to spiritual realities. The Word of God and Christ alone are our anchors. But as Christians, as you leave here, we're called out of Psalm 39 to keep the end in mind when deciding how to live today. The end of God's glory and us being united with Him is the point. And what you believe about the end will dictate your choices today. You're not home. Y'all are not home. Life is short. And the promise of Jesus, He is coming back for us. So I want to encourage you with this. Let me pray for you that you guys would represent the beautiful joy of representing Jesus, that we have a great God, Savior, who's coming back for us, by the way. Don't forget that. He's coming back. Don't forget it. Let's live like it when we get home. Let's show the world what that looks like to have a God who's made a promise and He's good on His promise. Let me pray over you. Lord, you truly do know all things. And I think through every eternal soul represented here, and I think through all the fears, all the internal stress, the struggles, the personal sin, Lord, you know all things, and yet you love us. And I pray that this would be a true season of picking up, refining, and clarifying the calling to love and trust you more. I pray that this body here, as they leave and disperse and go to their various houses, they would realize that they're not home on this earth. I pray that they would live with the end in mind, so that it would really bring a clear vision for how they can make choices today that matter for eternity. Thank you for each of them. I pray that they would continue their walk with you. I pray that each person here would find a local church as they go back to connect with, to grow with. And Lord, may we just receive, may you receive the joy and the praise as a result of your word that was taught, the creation behind me that was viewed, and the songs that were sung, the Fort staff who worked so hard this year, and the step of faith that each staff member had, just seeing what you have in store. Again, we thank you, we love you, and we trust you in all these things and look forward to your return. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.